Raymond, you've developed a method based on the ancient Greeks of calling up the deceased. Tell me about this. How does it work? How did you even think about this?
Well, you know, this is one of those things that this is too weird for the National Enquirer. I mean,
but not for us.
That's right. But this is, number one, absolutely factual, and yet just too incredible to believe. But those of you, for example, who've read back in college, you remember reading Plato's Apology, which is the story of Socrates' trial. And the Phaedo, the other dialogue, is the story of Socrates' execution. Well, you might remember that what Socrates says that people really had against him was that they said he was a person who probed into things up in the air and down under the earth. And that was just what the average Greek believed that a philosopher was a person who the probing up into the air meant flying out of the body, like out of body travel and so on, or getting up into the air magically. And things under the earth meant calling up the spirits of the dead. People really believed that philosophers were people who evoked the spirits of the dead. Well, guess what? They really did, quite a number of them. And the places that this was done were these places called oracles of the dead. You can read about them in Homer's Odyssey. Herodotus, the historian, wrote about it. Plutarch, the historian. Strabo, the geographer. Many of the ancient Greek writers wrote that they had these places where you could go and you could apparently see and communicate with, talk with your relatives who had passed away. Well, when I was in college, I mean, it was understood that the Greeks believed this, but it was just absolutely incredible. I mean, nobody really believed that. Most people believed that this was just some kind of legend that people had passed down.
Thomas Edison missed it because he was trying to develop his little phone to communicate with the dead, remember?
That's right, and back in about the mid 70s, a Greek classical archaeologist went to the place where many of the Greek classical writers said that this place was, and very quickly found it and excavated it. And what it turned out to be was this big underground facility, kind of like a hospital, kind of like a temple, and kind of like a theater, really. And you stayed 29 days down there in complete darkness and dormitory rooms. And on the last day, they led you into this subterranean chamber about 50 feet long. The archaeologists found in there carbon marks on the walls showing that they had had torches on the walls. And at the end of this thing, they found an enormous bronze cauldron that was surrounded by a banister. And the archaeologist looked at this and figured, well, this was fraud, that they had these people down there 29 days. By then, they could sort of figure out what kind of person it was who they had come in hopes of seeing. And their idea was that the people who worked there would get in this cauldron and pretend to be the spirits. Well, I thought two things. Number one, this place was in continuous operation for 1,000 years at least. Secondly, these people were the people who invented reason. The idea that they would have fallen for a millennium just was a non-starter for
right.
me. But more importantly, from my knowledge of psychiatry in the late 80s, I figured out what they were doing, and that was that, still in the Middle East today, they'll take a silver bowl, they'll highly polish it on the inside, they fill it up with olive oil and get in a darkened room by candlelight, and under that circumstance, when you gaze into the depth of the olive oil, you actually see full color, moving, three-dimensional vision. And I knew this already, so when I read that detail about what the archaeologist had found, I put two and two together, and in 1990, I set it up right here in my own home. I invited 10 of my graduate students of psychology to help me out on it, and very quickly some medical colleagues of mine who heard about what I was doing got interested, and they wanted to do it too. And very quickly I found that you can build a room where it consists just of a mirror on the wall, placed high enough on the wall so that the person sitting in a chair in front of the mirror does not see his or her own reflection. That's very important. This is not a matter of reflections. You can surround this mirror with a black cloth hanging from the ceiling to exclude light. Put a chair in front of the mirror and a little lamp. Actually, candlelight works best around in the room. And after a period of preparation, where basically what I do is I get the people to tell me about the person who had died, to bring up their memories and so on.
You're not playing the part of a medium here, are you?
No.
Okay.
No. Medium, by definition, is an intermediary.
Okay.
That is a person who contacts the dead on behalf of someone else. But in this case, people have their own direct experiences. What they do is, after you prepare them and get them to talk, they sit in this room, and I leave them in there for about an hour and a half. They sit in that darkened room, and when they look up into the mirror, due to the indirect illumination, it's like looking out into space. You don't see any reflections. It's just like going to infinity.
Right.
And under those circumstances, about 50% of the subjects on the very first attempt will tell you that they see and communicate with a departed person from the other side.
50%.
This is so wild, too. Some of the things, I mean, incidentally, what I'm telling you now has been confirmed by multiple other investigators.